two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10.
Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2, Ruth Adelson and Hope Layton interviewing Milton Zelkowicz on February the 25th, 2000. Milton, would you please tell us your address?
My address is 5841 Morrowfield Avenue, apartment 102, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15217.
I think we'll be... Okay. Okay, Milton, we're going to start with your family when you were a kid. And we're going to ask you about your father and your mother and your brothers and sisters. Okay? Could you tell us something about your parents? First, let's start with your father.
His name?
My father's name is Louis, L-O-U-I-S. And we lived in Czechoslovakia, mm-hmm. in a town which was called Kochanowice.
Can you spell it?
It's very difficult to spell that.
Well, can you spell it phonetically, maybe?
I'll try to do
that. Just give us.
I would start out with K-O-C-H-O-N-O-V-I-T-Z.
Good. When you say we, would that be your father?
That would be my father, my mother, and three sisters, and three brothers, and myself.
Okay.
Seven of us.
So you were born in Czechoslovakia. You were the youngest child born in Czechoslovakia.
That's right.
Okay.
I was a year old when we came over.
Okay. Tell us about that.
It was shortly after the war, we had a...
World War?
The World War I.
One. Okay.
That there's an uncle and an aunt of mine who were brother and sister of my mother. They were already here in America. They wanted us to come over.
Tell us their name.
See, my mother's name, maiden name was Rosenberg.
Give us her full name.
Dora Rosenberg.
Okay.
My uncle's name was David Rosenberg. Mm-hmm. David Rosenberg had written us a letter asking my parents to send over the two oldest children, and he would send them to school, take care of them. My father said, I will not hear of that. I was in the World War I. I was away from my family several years. I do not want to be parted from them again. If you want us to come over, you'll have to bring all of us over. And so we did. We left our little town of Kochanowice, and we went to Rotterdam, Germany. And there, we waited as long as 3 weeks to get on a ship. The reason for that is because my uncle and aunt sent us tickets for the ship, but the people there were looking for the people who have tickets. They're looking for cash. So they find all sorts of excuses to hold us back. Well, finally, they let us on the ship, and it took, about a month to get over to America.
How old were you? About a year old?
I was a year old, yes.
Okay. And it took you about a month to come over on the ship.
We came over in one of the cold months, December, January, and it was very, very cold. It was so cold that when we did get to customs, mm-hmm. Our luggage was not only secure, but it also there was ropes tied around it. And my father was not able, it was so cold, my father was not able to untie the knots. Mm. So they let us go through without checking our luggage.
Is that right? And where did you land?
We landed in Ellis Island.
And not Ellis Island. And you went through Ellis Island? You don't remember too much about that.
I don't remember that.
I see.
What I do remember is what my brothers and sisters have told me.
Mm-hmm. How was the trip? Could you tell us something about it?
It was very bad. The trip was terrible, the way I understand. There wasn't that much that my folks could eat because they were kosher. Uh-huh. And it seemed like they were living on herring and hard-boiled eggs. so that whenever we did come to America, my mother did not want to know of Harry. She would eat it for the rest of her life. So, and on the ship, it was polluted with rats. And I heard the story from my father that there was these rats coming into the stateroom that we were in, and he had taken a steel rod, and he swung at one of the rats and hit it on the tail, and it squealed so much that it seemed like the rats wouldn't come back into our stateroom again. This is the story that he tells me. So, at Ellis Island, we got on a train to take us to Braddock.
Oh, okay.
To Braddock, Pennsylvania. And it so happened that the train was not supposed to stop in Braddock. It was going to stop in the station before, which is East Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. My uncle knew this, but my folks didn't know that. Mm-hmm. When we got to East Pittsburgh, the conductor wanted us to get off. My mother said, no, Braddock's Braddock's. Mm-hmm. And he had to make a special stop in Braddock to let us off. So there we were, getting off the train in Braddock with nobody to meet us. My uncle was in East Pittsburgh with the limousine that he had rented from the local undertaker to bring us to our apartment. So when we got off the station in Braddock, it so happened there was a man who could speak German at the station, and he realized the problem that we had, and he gave us directions how to go to the apartment that they had rented for us. On the way, and we had to walk all the way, on the way down on a street called Talbot Avenue, we came across children that were coming home from school for lunch. And there was snow on the ground. They were throwing snowballs at us. And they were calling us Greenhorn. We thought for a while that it was a welcoming committee. And then it so happened that we were going past the building, the only three-story building in Braddock, where my uncle was lived on the third floor, and the other sister, her name was Esther Rosenberg, she was up there too, waiting for us. Mm-hmm. And here she sees this contingent coming by the building, mm-hmm. and so she ran down to meet us. She went to my father first, and she asked him, Yidin, or no, she said, Rabid, Viganzi. You know what that means?
Where are you going?
And he was so mad, he said, Ich weiß nicht, I don't know. Then my aunt noticed my mother, that she recognized, and then they invited us all the way up to the third floor, where we stayed with my aunt and uncle for maybe 2 or 3 days. Then we went down to the apartment that they had for us.
Could you tell us what year this was?
1920.
Okay.
Then, because I was born 1919.
I bet you were.
So then when we went down to the apartment, they didn't have the sense to clean up that apartment, and we did come into a dirty apartment. It was that dirty that the first thing you had to do was clean it up, and my mother was so disappointed that she wanted to go back to Europe to see such a filthy place like that. And what I understand too is the apartment had no running water. There was no inside toilets. It was an outhouse used not only by us but other people in that area. And also there were, again, rats that would go in there. And if a person had to use one of the outhouses, they had to knock on the door so that it would scare the rats away before going into the use of
them. That was awful.
And my father got himself a job in a foundry. You see, in those days it was very easy to get a job. Mm-hmm. Even though a person was Jewish, they needed the people. See, as time went on, I guess you know that there was a certain amount of, what shall I say, where Jews were not hired.
A kind of anti-Semitism?
It wasn't anti-Semitism, it's just that...
Discrimination?
That's the word I want.
Okay.
Discrimination.
Against hiring Jewish people?
Right.
You mean in the foundry?
The foundry, the steel mills, and so on.
Oh, all the...
My father was able to get a job temporarily. Then he felt that he could do a little bit better if he would buy a couple of cows mm-hmm. and sell the milk.
Mm-hmm.
He did that too.
Mm-hmm.
He did a little bit of huckstering.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though my aunt and uncle helped our family come over,
mm-hmm.
That's about all that they could do.
Sure.
So, of course, we had to do whatever we could in order to sure. make a living. Then, to go a little bit further, things weren't too well at that time because we ran into the Depression. And we thought that maybe the grass was greener in another city like New York.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to New York. We were there for about 3 months
mm-hmm.
when the sexton, the shamus of the synagogue, got into a little bit of trouble and he was fired.
In New York or in?
In Braddock.
In Braddock, I see.
And my uncle got in touch with my father
mm-hmm.
and asked him if he would want to come back to Braddock to take on that position.
He would be the shamus.
He would be the shamus.
I see.
My father grabbed the opportunity because he was not the breadwinner. My sisters were working at doll factories mm-hmm. and places like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, it bothered him so much that he was not the breadwinner. But if he took on this position, then he would be the breadwinner.
I see. How old were the other children? How old were your sisters at the time? How much older were your sisters than you?
The second in the family, the sister, she was 11 years old when we came over.
I see.
And the oldest must have been at least 2 years older, so she was 13. So the oldest in the family was 13, and of course I was a year old.
Okay, well, were the sisters working children with that child labor? They were working in factories at 13 and 12?
How many years
13
had passed?
13 and 11?
How many years had passed?
I would believe that, let's see, we went to New York when I was 9 years old. So
that's why I said how many years had passed.
Okay, so they were, okay, so they were like 19 and 20.
Sure.
I see. Okay.
And my father held that position for 14 years.
Now, how long did you stay in New York? Only 3 months.
That's all.
And then you came back.
Right.
And how long was he there at the synagogue?
14 years.
Is that right?
That's right.
Okay. What was the name of the synagogue?
Agudath Achim, which means United Brothers.
Can you spell that?
Agudath.
Agudath. Oh, A-G-U-D-A-T-H.
Mm-hmm.
Achim is spelled A-C-H-I-M.
Mm-hmm.
There's another synagogue, shall I tell you about that?
Sure.
Another synagogue in Braddock was called the Ahavath. Ahavath Achim. That's spelled A-H-A-V-A-T-H. Ahavath Achim means brotherly love.
Okay.
And then there was a synagogue in Rankin also.
Mm-hmm.
The synagogue in Rankin was torn down for redevelopment.
I see.
The Agudath Achim, the building was sold to a black church.
That's the one that your dad worked in.
That's right.
Right.
The Ahavath Achim is still in existence.
It is.
It's open only for the high holidays. There is a man by the name of Eugene Littman.
I've read about him in the paper. They wrote about him and this synagogue. Tell us about him.
Eugene Littman is the president uh-huh. of that synagogue, and his father, before him, was also the president.
Uh-huh.
And for sentimental reasons, he keeps it open just for the holidays. All three synagogues that I mentioned, two in Braddock and one in Rankin, each have a cemetery located in Forest Hills.
Mm-hmm.
They are adjacent to one another.
Mm-hmm.
At one time, there was a fence that separated them.
Mm-hmm.
The fence was torn down.
Mm-hmm.
Hedges were put up. The hedges were torn down.
Mm-hmm.
But we do know where one ends and the other one begins. And yet, it looks like one big cemetery.
How do you feel about that? Is that okay?
Oh, sure, that's very well.
May I ask you about these synagogues? For instance, the one that your father worked in, was it Orthodox? Was it conservative?
It was Orthodox.
Okay.
With a balcony for the women.
I see. So it was a true Orthodox.
So was the Abba Tachim.
Uh-huh.
They had a balcony also.
They were, okay. That's the one that Eugene Lippman
keeps open.
So should we say then that your family lived an Orthodox Jewish life when you were a kid growing up?
Yes.
Okay, tell us something about that, how you celebrated holidays and so on.
May I ask you,
I'm jumping around and I'm sorry. Was your mother a homemaker or did she work all
the time? She was a homemaker.
She was a homemaker.
Yes.
Okay.
And what a homemaker. What a cook and what a baker.
Was she wonderful?
Yes.
Well, tell us about how your home life and your and how you celebrated holidays and so on.
Well, there's no doubt about the fact that we attended the synagogue mm-hmm. regularly and certainly on holidays mm-hmm. for sure. And of course, on all the holidays, we're all together.
With your aunt and uncle?
No, not the aunt and uncle, no. I'm talking about the
immediate family. Your immediate family.
Yes.
Okay.
And I want to mention this, that as I told you before, all five brothers went to the service. Mm-hmm. Why is there five brothers? Because one was born here, mm-hmm. and a sister also was born here.
Okay.
But the five brothers, we were in the service, and when we came home, when all of us were at home, and we celebrated the Passover holiday, it was the most hilarious celebration that you ever saw, right in our own home. And I have a picture taken.
Uh-huh.
There was a black photographer who was a friend of the family's. Mm-hmm. He went on the outside, and because the room was that small, he couldn't stay in the room to take a picture of us.
Right.
We opened up a window, and he was in the backyard, and he took a picture of us.
He peeked in and took a picture.
I have a copy here.
We'll have to take a look at that. Well, then, did you celebrate some holidays or all holidays?
Celebrate every holiday.
Did you celebrate Purim and Simchat Torah? All of the holidays.
Oh, yes, we never let anything go by. It was necessary because to take care of the duties of a sexton.
Right.
There's a number of things you have to do for each holiday.
Right.
Let me give you an example.
Okay.
When it came to the holiday of Sukkot.
Right.
Even though today it's much different in those days than the prices today to buy an esrog and a lulav.
Okay.
So the synagogue bought several,
uh-huh.
and then it was the job of all the brothers. We took a territory in Braddock where we took the esrog and lulav to the various families so they could make the blessing.
I see.
And during the week, remember, we had to go to school, and there was quite often that we were late for classes.
Because we had these chores to do.
That's right.
I see.
When it came Passover, people didn't have automobiles at that time.
Uh-huh.
My father went around, took orders from everybody, and then he hired a truck to go to Pittsburgh
uh-huh.
to pick up everything that people ordered.
Uh-huh.
We brought it back to the synagogue, and then we separated them into uh-huh. the various orders, and we had it delivered to
you
them.
You mean the matzah and the matzah meal
sure,
and the
right.
potato starch and all that stuff.
That's right.
Oh, I see.
It was quite a
job
to take care of. And then, you know, in those days, the steel mills were going strong,
mm-hmm.
and it was pretty dirty all over the place. And every day, I remember, two of my brothers and myself, we had the job of dusting the benches where the people would come for services.
In the temple, you had to do that.
Sure.
So you were sextonettes, right?
That's right.
Helpers.
That's right.
I then assume that your mother kept a kosher home.
Oh, very much so.
How did she get meat?
We had two kosher butcher shops in Braddock.
Did you really?
Two kosher butcher shops.
You said that Braddock is actually a very small place. You said it's a mile long.
Mile long and a quarter mile wide.
Why? Is that true?
Absolutely.
Is that right?
And would you believe there are 200 Jewish families there?
I know you said.
200 Jewish families.
Well, that was a pretty thriving Jewish community.
Yes, it was quite.
Did they do things together as a Jewish community, did they?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Because just like I have in that article, that there was the Blue Laws.
Uh-huh.
Couldn't even go to see a movie on a Sunday.
Right.
And so we used to have picnics.
Uh-huh.
And we used to pile into the trucks that the hucksters would lend us.
Uh-huh.
We'd go out to a community about 5 miles away.
Uh-huh.
And I also mentioned the fact that we sat on benches in the back of the truck, and we didn't have any seat belts.
I know.
But again, you know, the trucks traveled so slow, I don't think it was too much to worry about.
So that was one way that you as a family entertained yourselves. You went on picnics
in the Jewish Community Center, which was built in 1928. And we almost lost it because we couldn't pay the mortgage on that building.
Uh-huh.
And but that was really the place where everybody would get together. We had all sorts of affairs, the bar mitzvahs and the bus mitzvahs and the weddings and various holidays like Purim and Hanukkah.
Mm-hmm.
We had a Sunday school that had 200 children in it.
But they didn't go to, did they go to the community center for their Sunday school?
Oh, yes.
Oh, they did.
Oh, yes.
I see.
And we had a wonderful rabbi at that time.
What was his name?
Rabbi Shapira, Joseph Shapira.
Well, he went to the pole. Is that the one that went to the pole?
He had only two positions. He had Braddock and Polsetic.
He was a wonderful man.
Sure he was.
Very erudite. Yeah, he was. Let's see. So what you're saying is that the Jewish community, was it a Jewish community picnic or was it an all Braddock picnic?
It was a Jewish community picnic.
Okay, so that's what you did. And you had a Jewish community center. But you also mentioned in your paper that Andrew Carnegie set up a kind of community.
Oh, it's still standing today.
It's not the same. There were two separate buildings.
It's two separate buildings, yes.
Okay.
Of course, we did not have in the Jewish Community Center what Andrew Carnegie put up. That building houses a library not only for adults but for children.
Mm-hmm.
And it has an auditorium mm-hmm. where minstrel shows were held,
mm-hmm.
and even when it came to the graduation exercise of the high school,
mm-hmm.
we used to use the auditorium.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a basketball court, mm-hmm. and there was pool tables and mm-hmm. ping pong tables, and a swimming pool.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, the people who worked in the mills didn't mm-hmm. have running water, they said. They used the place to take showers.
Sort of like the place on the hill, the settlement house.
Iron
Cobb and some, same idea.
I think for 5 cents they got a bar of soap and a towel.
And they could take a bath.
They would take a shower or a bath.
Oh, I see. When you came back to Pittsburgh from New York, did you move, you were not living in that same apartment? Were you moving?
No.
You went somewhere.
Sure, we lived right behind the synagogue.
I see.
The building belonged to the synagogue.
The house that you
had? The house, yes.
Uh-huh.
And therefore, we didn't have to pay rent, but the rent was part of the income
that
my father was getting.
Sure, I understand. And by this time, there were 9 children. Is that correct?
There's 9 children.
9 children. By the time you came back and your dad...
5 boys and 4 girls.
By the time your dad was a sexton.
Oh, sure.
There were 9 of you.
Even before that.
Can you tell us something about your school life when you were living in Braddock, when you were a kid?
Well, the elementary classes were held in what was called Carnegie.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was until the end of the 6th grade.
You went from Braddock to Carnegie, the little town of Carnegie?
No.
And the name of the school?
The name of the school was Carnegie.
Oh, the Carnegie Elementary School.
Okay. And then for 2 years we went to the junior high school.
Right.
And then after that we went to the high school.
And the name
for
of
4 years.
Do you remember the name of it?
Henning, H-E-N-N-I-N-G.
Uh-huh.
Henning was the junior high school.
Uh-huh.
And then it was Braddock High School.
Braddock High School.
I still remember the Braddock song.
Well, maybe we'll have you sing it.
All right.
Okay.
Want to hear it now?
Sure.
Okay. Dear old Braddock, our own school. Dear old Braddock, may you always rule. There is wisdom in your teaching, there is honor in your name.
And though we leave, we'll always dream, dear Bradekai, of you.
Very nice. Thank you. You have a nice voice.
Thank
very.
You. As I conduct services even today.
Do you? Do you?
Because we're jumping to something else. But I've been going for the past 15 years to the Keysport.
Is that right?
To conduct services.
We'll get to that because okay. That sounds like a wonderful thing to hear about. So did you graduate from Braddock
yes,
High School?
Yes, I did.
And the other question I'd like to ask you is, were you bar mitzvah?
Oh, yes.
Could you tell us something about that? What was bar mitzvah like when you were a kid?
Well, everybody, remember this is during the Depression.
Sure.
And especially the children. They all wanted to go to a bar mitzvah because that gave them an opportunity to get a treat that they didn't get otherwise.
Which was?
Such as, let's say, a bar of candy.
Okay.
Even a bottle of pop. Can you imagine the pop at that time, the retail price was 5 cents a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
You could buy a case, but I think there was 120 bottles in a case. And that was only 80 cents
mm-hmm.
for the whole case.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, people made their own root beer because it was much cheaper to do that than to buy a case of pop.
Mm-hmm.
There was an extract that cost a quarter. You add a little bit of yeast to that, and it made, I would say gallons, but because they were put in quarts.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were times whenever we stored the root beer that there would be an explosion. We used to hear it during the night. But we made an awful lot of culture with that, yes. So again, all the children did attend the services.
I see.
The high holidays, all the synagogues were filled to capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Standing room only. And bar mitzvahs, quite a few people did come to the bar mitzvahs.
What did you go? Did you go after school to study for your bar mitzvah?
Yeah, that's right. You remind me of the fact that, just like there was a record that I heard that said that because of the fact that we were in school during the day and then right after that we had to go to Hebrew school, we were looking for a vitamin D rabbi.
Uh-huh.
God knows if we didn't have any sunshine.
That's right. You were studying all the time.
But I want to say this, that the organization of AZA was a wonderful, wonderful thing. This is where all of the teenagers got together. And we had an association with the Young Judea, that was a women's group. The AZA is a junior order of the B'nai B'rith.
What does AZA stand for?
It's the Hebrew letters Aleph, Tzadik, Aleph.
What does that mean?
I don't remember what each word mm-hmm. stands for, but we always called it Aleph, Tzadik, Aleph.
Okay.
Those are Hebrew letters.
And that was the junior for the young people branch of the B'nai B'rith.
Yes, we had as many as 50 members at all times.
And what age would you say? What age?
From 15 to 21.
Oh, so it was young adults?
Yes.
Okay.
And the same goes for the young Judea. They're about the same age.
I see. And you met at the Jewish Community Center? Is that where you
met? Oh, yes. We played basketball there.
Uh-huh.
We had dances.
Uh-huh.
There were a number of AZA chapters in the area.
Uh-huh.
And we used to have tournaments,
uh-huh.
A debating contest,
yeah,
and so on. And we used to get together for about 3 days. And of course, we didn't have any hotels where people would stay,
right.
So we used to accommodate them in our own homes.
People would open their homes.
Yeah, and by the same token, when we went over there, they would take care of us also. And so we would have our meetings, we'd have our contests, and then the last day we would have a dance
mm-hmm.
where the young ladies who served us at the banquet,
right.
They were our partners.
I see.
For the dance.
It sounds like you had a rather it was a depression time and people weren't rich, but it sounded like you had a nice young time.
That's
of life.
We did, yes.
It sounds that I sense that you look back on it with pleasure.
Sure do.
That's good.
I still have a newspaper that we put out.
Is that right? I think maybe we ought to get the names of your brothers and sisters. What do you think, Ruthie?
Well, why don't we have like one minute left on the side.
All right. Then we're going to turn the tape, okay? Well, let me think. What happened to you after you graduated from school? Did you go to work?
Yes. There was no money to go to college.
Sure.
And the first job that I had, oh yes, no, realizing that there was no chance of going to college. Mm-hmm. I did not take the academic or the scientific course. Mm-hmm. I took the commercial course. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it helped out a lot because I was able to get a job right after high school.
Okay, hold it, because we'll turn over and we'll get to that.